Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, you've tuned in to Smoke News Radio. This is your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's get on with episode 100. Start this out from TwinCities.com. We have We have two men, both 18, wounded in St. Paul shooting during reported marijuana deal. Two men, both 18, wounded in St. Paul shooting. Both were treated for non-life-threatening injuries, according to police. Officers responded to Claytoner Street on report of shots fired at 11 p.m. and found an 18-year-old nearby. He appeared to have one gunshot wound to his back and was conscious, said Steve Linders, a St. Paul police spokesman. Paramedics took him to Regions Hospital. He told officers he came to the area to sell marijuana to someone he didn't know when two people approached and tried to rob him at gunpoint. Linder said he ran away and someone shot him in the back. Soon after, the other 18-year-old arrived at Regions. He had gunshot wounds to his bicep, leg, and torso. A woman said she was in her home when the man began banging on her door, asking for help, and told her he was shot during a drug deal. She drove him to the hospital. No one was under arrest as of Tuesday afternoon. There are no indications that the shootings were related to a homicide earlier Monday in St. Paul. Next on Smoke News Radio, with your host Jason Brodsky, we have from MyCentralJersey.com, in Middlesex County, South Plainfield bans retail marijuana businesses. The borough council has voted to prohibit retail cannabis businesses from operating anywhere in town. Also prohibited are cultivation and delivery, except for the delivery of cannabis items and related supplies to by a delivery service. The borough will, though, allow two cannabis manufacturing businesses, two wholesale businesses, and one distributor in designated industrial zones. The permitted businesses, all five of them, must be licensed. The ordinance, which was approved August 18th by a 4-2 vote with City Council President Derek White and Councilman Peter Smith casting the two dissenting votes, also includes a transfer and user tax on the recipients from the sale of cannabis items from one establishment to another. Under the ordinance, a 1% transfer tax will be collected from recipients from each sale by a cannabis wholesaler in the borough and a user tax at the same rate will be imposed by cannabis not subject to the transfer tax. The transfer or user tax will be in addition to any other tax allowed by state law. Written by Susan Russell. Next, from ilgiorno.it, Italy, Pavia, marijuana plantation in grandmother's garden. In the garden that his grandmother had entrusted to him in the Bizzol hamlet of Garolasco, instead of vegetables and tomatoes, he grew marijuana. The Cavanieri, however, discovered it, and for the man, a 44-year-old who lives in Zerboio, the complaint arrived on the loose for the cultivation of narcotic substances for the purpose of the shop. The military found the plantation on Wednesday evening during a land survey. Under seizure, six plants of varying height between 70 centimeters and 1 meter and 30 in addition to 12 branches of inflorescence weighing 114 grams, another 20 branches weighing 245 grams were instead recovered during the search that the soldiers of Major Paolo Banziati carried out at the man's home. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from FarikiaNow.com, lawmakers mull speeding up retail marijuana sales. Virginian lawmakers are already discussing speeding up the 3-year delay between marijuana legalization last month and the beginning of retail sales. Delaware or Dell Paul Krizek of Alexandria said during the inaugural meeting Tuesday of the legislators' joint commission on cannabis oversight, what we need to do is get the safe sales of marijuana out there as soon as possible. Members of the commission outlined a proposal from the state's four licensed medical marijuana producers to begin selling to recreational customers while the broader marketplace ramps up. The medical industry, which currently only sells to patients registered with the state board of pharmacy. All right. I'm not sure it's broadcasting. I'm going to call right back. All right, now I'm pretty sure it is broadcasting here. Here we go. All right. Find out how we're doing this on the road. Here we go. Virginia lawmakers are already discussing speeding up the 3-year delay between marijuana legalization last month. Members of the commission outlined a proposal from the state's four licensed medical marijuana producers to begin selling to recreational customers while the broader marketplace ramps up. The medicinal industry, which currently only sell to patients registered with the State Board of Pharmacy, had successfully pushed for the measure as lawmakers debated legalization last year, but the proposal didn't make it to the final bill because lawmakers said they were worried it would give the companies an unfair head start and make it harder for small and minority-owned businesses to compete later. But some lawmakers are sounding less comfortable with their decision to legalize marijuana without providing a way to buy it. Currently, the only legal way to obtain the drug is to grow it yourself or receive it as a gift from someone who has, and even that arrangement is complicated by the fact that it is not legal to purchase seeds or plants. Del Krizek worried that waiting until 2024 to open the recreational marketplace, time lawmakers said they needed to write regulations and begin issuing licenses would only boost illegal markets. He goes on to say, people know it's legal and they probably think they can buy it legally, and it's going to become more and more difficult to explain to the general public. We don't want to facilitate an illegal market out there. The medical industry is suggesting that lawmakers give them temporary licenses to sell to recreational customers on the condition that they each serve an incubator for five new licenses who qualify for planned social equity programs, which is aimed at directing a portion of new marijuana business licenses to black Virginians who faced disproportionate enforcement of marijuana laws under prohibition. Quoted, every other state that has legalized cannabis has leveraged their existing medical market to not just increase access, but generate the tax revenue and funds for social equity priorities, said Negiste Abwe, the vice president of public policy at Columbia Care, which controls two of the state's medical marijuana licenses. While several members voice support for the approach, House Majority Leader Sharnell Herring of Alexandria said she was skeptical, worrying the plan would actually end up hurting the state's social equity program. She cited past efforts by the state to help minority and women-owned businesses, which she said haven't always been particularly successful. Del Herring goes on to say, a minority or woman is brought in and a company says, we'll incubate you, you're a partner, wink. then they get access to a social equity license. It does harm to the whole spirit of what we're trying to do. Senator Adam Eben of Alexandria, who chairs the Oversight Commission, called it an important issue to flag. Asked after the meeting whether he expected legislation would be forthcoming that moved up the date of retail sales. Senator Eben said it was still too early to say. The General Assembly revenues for its next session is in January. And he goes on to say, it's worthy of this subcommittee to consider if it can be done while still ensuring robust participation by social equity applicants. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from KTLA.com, California, inmates can't legally possess marijuana under California law allowing recreational pot, state Supreme Court rules. The justices said that 2019 appellate court ruling allowing prisoners to have up to 1 ounce, 28.5 grams of marijuana went against common sense. The High Court sided with the state attorney general in finding the state's marijuana law, approved by voters, did not apply to Californians in prison. Associate Justice Joshua Groban wrote, for the majority, it seems plausible that the voters intended to essentially decriminalize marijuana prisons. Quoted, we agree with the Attorney General that if the drafters had intended to so dramatically change the laws regarding cannabis in prison, we would expect them to have been more explicit about their goals. California, in 1996, became the first state to legalize medical marijuana, quote, recommendations, which also is illegal in its prisons. 20 years later, voters approved Proposition 64, establishing the world's largest legal recreational pot marketplace. Persons 21 or older can legally possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Cannabis is now legal in some form in more than 30 states. But Paul Armentano, Deputy Director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, said he was unaware of any state that allows either recreational or medicinal cannabis in prison. The case before the California Supreme Court arose from the conviction of 5 men who were found with marijuana in their cells. The Sacramento-based Third District Court of Appeal overturned the convictions, ruling that while state law made it illegal to smoke or eat pot in prison, it didn't specifically criminalize possession. Other California appeals courts had ruled that possessing cannabis in prison still was illegal. In the 5-2 Supreme Court decision, Groban wrote, quote, "While perhaps not illogical to distinguish between the possession and use of cannabis, it is nonetheless difficult to understand why the electorate would want to preclude laws criminalizing cannabis possession in prison, but permit laws criminalizing cannabis consumption in prison." Associate Justice Leandro Kirger, writing in partial dissent, agreed that the ballot measure did not legalize cannabis possession in California's prisons and jails, but she said it left open the question of whether prosecutors could continue to file charges for the same way they previously could, by choosing between what she called two overlapping felony statutes, one with tougher penalties than the other. Voters who could have intended to provide a limited measure of leniency for inmates caught with cannabis, she reasoned, even while not decriminalizing possession behind bars. She also said the court shouldn't have addressed the legality question at all, based on the way the appeal was framed. She was joined by one other justice, Mariano Florentino Cuellar. The lower court said corrections officials still could ban possession as a rules violation, just as they do for alcohol or tobacco, but not seek new felony charges that could add years to a prisoner's sentences. Quoted by Groban, "We are sympathetic to the view that existing law creates extreme disparity between how our legal system treats the possession of cannabis generally versus the possession of such a substance inside a correctional facility. This is also true of many other substances, including alcohol." And goes on to write, "Some may well view an 8-year prison sentence for the possession of less than 1 gram of cannabis as unduly harsh. The wisdom of those policy judgments, however, are not relevant to the interpretation of the statutory language." Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Check on the wired-in system here. All right. Apparently still broadcasting. Apparently looking. It's seemingly looking that it's broadcasting. It just hasn't gone bleep, bleep, bleep. There's no sound on this side because I don't have the mixer. So it's a whole adventure. It is a whole adventure. I have to use the magic soda can for effects. Okay. Fantastic. Fun brought to you by Smoke News Network. Next on Smoke News Radio, we have Gazette Tadalaba, IT, Italy. Marijuana plantation in the open field dismantled by the yellow flames of Asti. A 49-year-old Italian resident in Alessandria Municipality, Via Dieti, was reported to the Vercelli Public Prosecutor's Office for the crimes of drug production and sale by the man of the Asti Finance Police. The yellow flames engaged in control activities of rural areas have in fact discovered that the man had equipped a land between the municipalities of Tonco and Montiglio for the cultivation of marijuana. During the blitz, they found in the plot plants in the state of advanced development for the total weight of 3.5 kilos, which he would have packed using the sling bar and instrument seized together with the inflorescence lights by the financiers. Written by David Gaesio. Next on Smoke News Radio, with your host, Jason Brodsky, from thestartribune.com, man who assaulted Oakdale postal worker over marijuana package gets 18 months in prison. A man who hurt Oakdale postal worker over marijuana package gets 18 months in prison. The St. Paul man is being sent to prison for attacking and seriously injuring an Oakdale post office employee who refused to hand over a package that wasn't addressed to the man. The package turned out to contain more than a pound of marijuana that the man had mailed to himself from California. The suspect, 23, was sentenced this week in federal court in Minneapolis to 18 months prison, followed by 3 years supervised release for assaulting and attempting to rob a postal employee at the Eastern Heights station, Gershwin Avenue, Oakdale. Acting U.S. Attorney W. Anders Folk said in a statement announced in this sentencing, this defendant attacked an innocent United States Postal Service employee, a public servant, who was simply doing his job. Postal workers are frontline employees who serve the public during challenging times, particularly throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, and they deserve to be safe and free from violence as they carry out their duties. According to court documents, on June 4th, 2020, the suspect tried to pick up a package he had mailed to himself while on a trip in California, but the employee, supervisor said he could not hand it over because the parcel didn't have Jackson's name or address on it as the recipient. Jackson left, but then returned multiple times that same day, each trying to persuade the supervisor to give him the package containing 1.1 pounds of marijuana. He returned one last time shortly before the post office closed for the day and demanded the package. When the supervisor walked away, Jackson leapt over the service counter, followed the employee into the back office, and punched him repeatedly in the head. The two struggled and fell to the floor before other employees restrained the suspect. The supervisor suffered scrapes, abrasions, and bruises in his head and knees, as well as a badly broken finger that required surgery. The suspect's attorney argued against prison time, citing Jackson's lack of a felony record and hardships as a child growing up in St. Paul. Attorney also noted in the filing that Jackson was only attempting to obtain something that he had paid for and had shipped himself. Prosecutors had pushed for a 3-year prison term, contending that Jackson not only attempted to steal a package from the post office, but he attempted to steal a package containing nearly 500 grams of marijuana. He also brutally beat a postal employee who tried to stop him for unlawfully taking the package. Jackson's conduct was intentional, albeit impulsive. About 2 weeks before the sentencing, the postal employee met with the suspect's attorney to discuss her client's punishment. The employee, whose name was redacted from public court documents, said he's been through many surgeries and will probably be handicapped in that finger for the rest of his life and will need further operations, according to the filing made with the court. While the employee acknowledged being upset about the attack, he said he had no opinion about whether Jackson goes to prison. Quoted, "All I care about is that this never happens to anyone else ever again." The filing quoted the employee as saying to the defense attorney, "He just wants Jackson to be better, whatever it takes." Written by Paul Walsh. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Check on the electronic universe as it connects out there to the world. I will press a button. A button, a beep. Still happens. As is good. Somehow I don't have it all perfect. You know, you just gotta don't move more than a foot in either direction. The phone's behind you, up above your neck. And you can reach this smoking device. It's not a smoking device, it's just a soda can. I'm only drinking a soda and I can't see. Uh-oh. like, you know, the soda's doing without a lighter. So, I mean, hold on for a second while I find this working. Very good, very good. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Smoke News Radio, a cannabis show about marijuana. Except for eating a hot pepper and going at it. Smoke News Radio, but you guys. Okay, here we go. Next on Action News, Union Esarda.it in Italy. I used to do a lot of these shows were like, you know, a country or two when they're actually people could get out and stand for things. Okay. Half a kilo of marijuana at home, 40-year-old arrested, two people reported for detention for the purpose of dealing. One person arrested and two reported on the loose for detention for the purpose of drug dealing. The Carabinieri of the operations section of the Territorial Dipartimento de Olbiera arrested a 40-year-old of Calgary, Oregon, residing in Lori Porto, San Paolo, already known to the police for specific precedents, and reported two other people for detention for the purpose of drug dealing in competition between them. The military identified two men who were moving suspiciously among the parked cars near Via Vittorio Veneto with the support of a patrol of the radio section. They found them in possession of wrappers containing marijuana and other narcotic substances. One of the two, a 50-year-old Olbia, also had a precision sling bar in his pocket. In the house where the 40-year-old lived, owned by his partner, a 45-year-old from Olbia, half a kilo of marijuana, 88 grams of hashish, and five scales, three precision ones, were found, used to dose quantities and prepare the packages. The second man, on the other hand, had with him 15 grams of marijuana, 11 grams of hashish, and 8 grams of cocaine, as well as a precision sling bar. The 40-year-old was arrested, then accompanied to house arrest. The woman and the 50-year-old from Obiese, on the other hand, were reported in a state of freedom. The validation ended with the extent of the obligation to sign. All right. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from theislandnow.com, Port Washington, Village of Sands Point, to hold hearing on marijuana sales next month. The board voted unanimously on Tuesday to set the August 24th hearing. Newly elected Mayor Peter Foreman said village officials made the decision out of an abundance of caution. Foreman quotes, Sands Point, per se, does not have any commercial districts. We are availing ourselves of the limited time that the state has given us to do so. Under the state's new marijuana law, consumption and smoking of cannabis is now legal throughout New York. Ooh. Wherever smoking tobacco is legal. Let me see. Yes. Okay. Oh, be very, very careful with broadcasting. Under the state's new marijuana law, consumption and smoking of cannabis is now legal throughout New York, wherever smoking tobacco is legal. Municipalities have until December 31st to refuse to allow retailers to sell the substance, though they will not get to share in any of the generated tax revenue if they do so. On Monday, the village of Williston Park became the latest North Shore municipality to opt out of the retail sale of marijuana. Members of Williston Park Board said that even if they were to allow retail cannabis sales, the village would have limited space for such businesses to establish themselves and little control over how they would operate. Also, during Tuesday's Sands Point meeting, Foreman appointed trustee Jeffrey Marslow to serve as the village's deputy mayor. Muslow, who grew up in Port Washington, has been a Sands Point resident since 2002. He was appointed a trustee in August 2019 to fill the seat of Mark Silbert, who had died 9 months before. Prior to serving as a trustee, Muslow was a member of the village's Board of Zoning Appeals. He also attended Tufts University and Harvard Law School, served as a senior partner at Goldman Sachs. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from MacombDaily.com. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host from MacombDaily.com, trial starts in death of teen pedestrian in Shelby Township. Defendant accused of driving recklessly under the influence of marijuana. Suspect appears at a previous court hearing in his criminal case. Suspect, 36, of Shelby Township, is charged with reckless driving, causing death and driving under intoxication or impairment of THC, the active ingredient in marijuana. In the January 29th death, Hugo was the deceased was walking a friend from 25 Mile Road on January 5th at 6 p.m. when he was struck from behind by a 2003 BMW driven by the suspect. The suspect, who turned left onto Sherwood Lane, allegedly passed multiple signs and a blockade that informed motorists the westbound lane on which the victim was walking was closed due to construction. The suspect had 9 nanograms of tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, in his system following the incident. Each of the charges against the suspect carry a maximum penalty of 15 years in prison. If the suspect is convicted, he'll serve his terms simultaneously. The case's progress was slowed by the ban on jury trials for more than a year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and attempts to resolve the case via a plea deal. The trial is expected to include about 20 witnesses and last about a week. The suspect is represented the suspect is free due to posting 10% and a $20,000 bond. There we go. I'm not here to say all these people's names, like, it's not a name parade. It's just, it's the suspect. It could be you in another world. So don't be not paying attention to signs when you're driving, or people like this will be given reasons to not smoke and drive because stupid people do stupid things and hurt it for the rest. So next on Smoke News Radio, from WVXU.org, despite roadblocks, marijuana expungements moving forward in Cincinnati. Nearly 6,000 people in Cincinnati could have their criminal records cleared of minor marijuana offenses if the city manager and solicitor have their way. They're recommending the city move forward with plans to expunge or seal misdemeanor convictions of 100 grams or less of marijuana. A memo from city solicitor Andrew Garth says the Hamilton County Clerk's Office identified 7,500 cases among 5,800 individuals that might be eligible for expungement. There's a possibility expunging all those records in a bulk application process could mean some ineligible cases slip through the cracks. The memo lays out 3 possibilities. Someone may have disqualifying conditions outside of Hamilton County. There may be a current open case against a defendant which may not appear in searches due to technical limitations of software used by the clerk's office. People may still owe fines or costs, which is difficult to track because some people choose to complete community service as opposed to paying fees. The memo says doing background checks on each case, even if it only took 10 minutes, would take nearly 1,000 hours of work. Quoted, doing these more extensive background checks would almost certainly identify some individuals who were not eligible, although we believe that number would be quite small, the memo states. The city solicitor says those cases could be overlooked because the fines are likely small. The minor misdemeanor charges will likely have no impact on any future charging decisions by courts, and the expungement could be reversed if it's accidentally sealed and becomes relevant in a case later. The city solicitor also wants to take time to work with local courts to determine if it's possible to submit a large number of expungement requests rather than analyzing every case individually. And the memo goes on to say, while we will need to reach out to the courts for additional guidance, it is our hope that the city will be able to file some sort of bulk application with the courts to quickly resolve the cases we have identified as likely eligible. City officials were supposed to begin the process of analyzing possible expungement cases in November 2019. However, identifying the eligible cases, nonviolent convictions for having about 3 ounces or less of marijuana didn't begin until mid-March. City manager Paula Bogg-Muthing addresses marijuana expungement efforts in a memo to Mayor John Crunley and city council members. She said she is directing the law department to resolve some of the roadblocks in favor of enacting quick, large-scale expungements. Possession of 100 grams of marijuana is a minor misdemeanor, but can still cause issues for people seeking employment, housing, or educational assistance. Not all crimes are eligible for expungement, though. Crimes involving children, sex crimes, and first and second degree felonies are never eligible for expungement. The support behind expungement of smaller crimes is intended to give people the chance to move on from their criminal convictions. Awesome. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's get a little bit into this article and get some music going. But this one is from CannabisNow.com. I do try to avoid the evangelistic news sources, but California congressman bulldozes home HMONG cannabis farmers' crops. The southeastern Asian nation of Laos, the Hmong, famously fought in CIA-aided tribal militias against the communist insurgents in the 1960s when the communists took power in 1975. The Hmong faced prosecution and many came to the United States as refugees. They mostly settled in the Great Lake States. Gold medalist Suni Lee is from Minnesota. A large community landed in Fresno, California. Over the past generation, many have been making their way from Fresno up to rugged and remote Siskiyou County, abutting the Oregon border. With this move, the Hmong are putting their ancestral knowledge as highland agricultural people to new use. They're growing cannabis. But Hmong cannabis farmers increasingly find themselves stigmatized and criminalized by the political establishment in Siskiyou. In recent weeks, the situation has approached a boiling point. On July 20th, social media users treated the bizarre spectacle of a congressman at the controls of a bulldozer destroying unlicensed cannabis plots in Siskiyou. The videos posted to YouTube by the office representative Doug LaMalfa in a blatant publicity stunt. The videos show LaMalfa behind the wheel of a dozer back in May joining in with sheriff's deputies to demolish the unlicensed Hmong cannabis greenhouses. All right. Smoke News Radio, episode 100. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Everybody, you are fantastic. I love you very, very much. We have a song right here from Jack Johnson. Take you away for the night. Have a beautiful night. I love you for supporting marijuana.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight.